Yeah, Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that?
Hey everybody, welcome back, and we are going to be doing the Miami Dolphins on this one. A really fun team, playoff team last year, had their hearts broken in Kansas City in that super, super cold weather game last year in the playoffs, but let's see what they got for this year coming up. So Coach Mike McDaniel, offensive coordinator Frank Smith are still there. Obviously, Mike McDaniel's the one calling the plays. Some of the key players who left. So, obviously, guard Robert Hunt signed with Carolina this offseason to a big contract. Cedric Wilson Jr. also gone. And they have current free agent Connor Williams. So, maybe Connor Williams comes back if he's not finding the right fit in free agency. And then the targets and vacated air yards, not a whole lot here. Only 96 targets and 977 yards were vacated. Obviously, that's Wilson, Chase Claypool, Robbie Anderson, a couple other players that I'm thinking are forgetting off the top of my head. So not a whole lot missing there. Quarterbacks, Koopa, what do we got at the quarterback position?
We all know Tua Tagovailoa. He's the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. He's been that for quite a number of years now. He's a pretty good NFL quarterback. So he had an 86.9 PFF grade, seventh out of the 38 overall quarterbacks. For fantasy purposes, he doesn't run the ball that much. So that kind of brings down his quarterback score in terms of the number of points that he ends up putting up. So last season, he got all the way up to, if you count points over the course of the whole season, he was quarterback 9. But he ends up on a week-to-week basis kind of being a low-end quarterback 1, high-end quarterback 2. Usually he's in that like 12 to 15 range, and then he has a couple weeks where he'll spike up to like quarterback 3 or quarterback 4. I think he did have one week where he was quarterback 1, but it was like a low-scoring week for all the quarterbacks. So he kind of just got lucky with the draw there that his like 27 or 28 points that he put up was the best for that week. So he's somebody that if you look at it for this coming season, like he is ranked as quarterback 12, and he's ranked as high by some people at quarterback 10. Personally, he's somebody that even in my super flex leagues, I think that you're paying a lot for the certainty of Tua Tagovailoa. You aren't paying for the actual production of him. And so he's somebody that I am kind of quietly getting myself out on a lot of him or just not drafting him in as many places because he's not going to be that difference maker. And you can get very close to Tua's production with a much lesser quarterback. If you want to get riskier, you can go and take your like Derek Carr shots. You can go take your Geno Smith shots. And there's not going to be a huge difference between them and Tua outside of the couple spike games, and instead you invest that into another position, and that helps you overall with your team on more of a week-to-week basis. Their backups behind Tua are Mike White and Skylar Thompson, the same two that they had last year. Mike White is the number two quarterback, and then Skylar Thompson, he's going to dress as that third quarterback. They also got Gavin Hardison as a UDFA this year. There's the potential he beats out Skylar Thompson just because Skylar Thompson's been the third quarterback for them for 2 years in a row now. And so it might be a case of, hey, we want to try out Hardison because, you know, we've seen Thompson as the number three quarterback. The fact that they went before last season after having had Thompson for a year and felt the need to trade for Mike White, that's something that kind of makes me think, okay, we don't like Skylar Thompson as much. But Skylar Thompson and Gavin Hardison, they are fighting for the number three quarterback job. They probably shouldn't be rostered on your team anyway, unless you have like 40 bench spots or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind Thompson. He did start that playoff game a couple years ago when Tua was hurt. So Thompson, somebody that they do like. I think they end up keeping him over Hardison, honestly, and they probably just keep all three of these guys since they kept three last year. The one thing I wanted to bring out with Tua real quick is, you know, I think he was, what, quarterback 9 you said last year? And that's with him leading the league in passing yards. So that's just showing you, like, even if you lead the league in passing yards, you know, if you're not running the ball really at all, you're not going to even, you're barely in the top 10 for quarterbacks. So just to kind of show you how much rushing quarterbacks really do mean if you're not running a lot. I do like Tua if you are stacking him with Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle or whatnot. So if you can do that, I like that. But, you know, Tua is probably a back end starter for you in most leagues. And that's just the guy who's leading the league in passing yards. He's probably going to be in the top five doing that again this year, as long as he stays healthy with this group that he has. But on to the running backs here real quick. So Raheem Mostert obviously had a career year last year, 84.7 PFF grade, which was fifth out of 59 qualified running backs. Devin Achane, their draft pick from last year, 92.1 PFF grade, which was first out of the 59 running backs last year. Jalen Wright, the 2024 fourth round pick, is going to be there as well. Jeff Wilson Jr. they brought back. Salvin Ahmed, Chris Brooks, a 2023 UDFA as well. They kept five running backs last year and one fullback for six total. I think this year, I think Mostert's going to be there. Achane's going to be there. Jalen Wright, those guys are locks. I think Jeff Wilson will still be a lock there. He's still a useful player. Can play, especially with these guys that get banged up. Mostert got banged up a little bit. Achane got banged up a little bit last year. I could see them keeping four. I think Ahmed, they brought him back cheap. He's a possibility to stay there. He's really on the bubble. It's going to be between him and Chris Brooks if they want to keep five again this year. It's going to depend on the numbers game there. But quickly on Jalen Wright. From Dane Brugler, overall, Wright needs to develop a better feel for using tempo to maximize what is there, but his run strength, balance, and ability to cut and weave at top speed make him dangerous with the ball in his hands. He projects as a scheme-versatile back, stylistically similar to Jerome Ford, who can handle work on all three downs. Jalen Wright finished number one among all FBS running backs in yards per carry in 2023. He averaged 7.39 yards per carry. 25.74% of his carries in 2023 went for 10 plus yards, which was number one in all of college football. 136 carries last year, 1,010 yards, 4 touchdowns, 22 catches, 25 targets, 141 receiving yards. His PFF grade was 91, an 88 point grade in a zone scheme, and an 85 grade in a gap scheme. Top tier athlete, explosive first step, reliable pass protector, which is good. He'll be in there on third downs. Shows decent amount of patience to set up blocks, or for his blocks to set up. Doesn't always see the open cutback lane, so speed needs to, or his cutback lane, so he needs to improve on his vision. Decent enough catch to be a check down option as well. He just fits perfectly into this scheme. I really like where Jalen Wright went. I've been hammering late second. He's been going to most of my rookie drafts. I've been hammering him there if I can get him. Definitely want some shares of this guy because he is that kind of home run hitter that, you know, Achane and Mostert have been in their careers, where Jalen Wright could just fit right into this perfect offense and have, you know, an incredible fantasy season if everything goes right for them.
What, yeah, these running backs, back? These running backs are, they fit perfectly into the Miami system of, they just want speed. So Raheem Mostert, the biggest thing to be worried about is the fact that he is a 32-year-old running back. We start talking about, like, there's an age cliff at 27 with running backs. So the fact that he's still going at 32 is amazing. But the running back of the future for the Dolphins is definitely Devon Achane. And so he's going to, he's the top guy in terms of fantasy projections from Miami. He's projected overall running back 12, and analysts put him usually between running back 8 and 16. Raheem Mostert is the second one at running back 26. And so you can kind of look at, okay, they're going to split, but Achane is going to be the more efficient guy. Once again, talking about rookie running backs slowly picking up as the season goes on. If Mostert is kind of worn down, he's, as the season goes on, maybe his age starts catching up to him, Jalen Wright is essentially going to be the Raheem Mostert replacement, assuming everything goes well. So Jalen Wright definitely being that third running back there, and hopefully being able to come in and in the future, seeing the split between Devon Achane and Jalen Wright will be good. And hopefully, we know this Miami team, we know how they use their running backs, they make them extremely efficient in their usage. Hopefully, we are going to be able to see a nice fantasy career out of both Achane and Jalen Wright, just because they're both going to be able to take advantage of the scheme that's going on here in Miami.
Yeah. All right, on to the wide receivers here. Tyreek Hill, obviously, PFF grade 93.4. He was first of 128 wide receivers. Jalen Waddle, PFF grade of 90.3. He was seventh out of the 128 wide receivers. So, obviously, two elite options here for Tua. Odell Beckham Jr., who they just signed a couple days ago, he is now with Miami. Malik Washington, a 2024 sixth-round pick that head coach Mike McDaniel really, really won. He was banging the table for him. If you check out some of the stuff on social media, the draft call especially with Mike or Malik Washington, Mike McDaniel really, really wanted this guy. So I like that. Braxton Berrios, PFF grade 57.6, 99th out of 128. Malik Washington is really going to upgrade that slot spot for Miami. River Craycraft still there. Eric Ezukama, 2022 fourth-round pick, who is still with the team. Taj Washington from USC, who they drafted in the seventh round this year. Braylon Sanders, a 2022 UDFA, still there. Anthony Schwartz from the Browns, who's come over, super fast track speed guy. Jaquan Burton is a 2024 UDFA, and Matt Sexton is still there as well. They kept six receivers on their initial 2023 roster last year. So looking at it right now, I think Hill, Waddle, Odell, Malik Washington, and Braxton Berrios are probably locked in for the top five. They really like River Craycraft with his special teams ability. So I would say Craycraft has the leg up right now. And some of these other guys might just end up on their practice squad. I know Ezukama, Braylon Sanders, those guys were on the practice squad a lot of last year's, and they were up, you know, active or inactive a couple times as well. Taj Washington, can he overcome River Craycraft? We'll see what he can do there. So some highlights on Malik Washington I wanted to bring up. So overall, Washington is undersized and needs to continue refining his route steps, but his explosive movements, rugged toughness, and catch point skills will make him a factor in the slot for an NFL offense. He also has a skill set to immediately contribute in the return game. 4.47 40 yards dash speed. Kick returner in 2023, he had 14 returns for 273 yards, 19.5 average. At Virginia last year, he had 111 catches, 138 targets, 1,384 yards, and 9 touchdowns. He played on 462 pass snaps. 402 of them were in the slot, only 31 snaps out wide. 88.7 man coverage grade, so he can really good against man coverage. He had 3 drops last year, 6.4 yak, which was tied for 112th in the nation, 8.1 ADOT, which was tied for 436th in the nation. So wasn't very good downfield quite a bit. He had 12 catches for 419 yards on deep balls and 93 catches, 1,127 yards out of the slot. Good strength and balance, quick controlled feet makes for good precise cuts and suddenness. Short arms will lead to some short catch radius stuff, but I think if Tua is accurate like he is, I think he can put the ball right on Malik Washington's mitts, and Malik could have a good little career here. It is going to be tough, obviously, as a six-round draft pick. It's probably going to be hard for him to really contribute his first year here. But if he can hit the ground running and Mike McDaniel can get him up to speed in this offense, I think Malik Washington could be somebody who, you know, we look at, wow, why did this guy go in the sixth round? This guy should have been like a third-round pick. I wouldn't be shocked at that. What do you think about the wide receivers here, Koopa?
Yeah, so Tyreek Hill, we've basically said all that needs to be said. Yeah. Depending on your ranks, wide receiver 1-3, you want him. Jalen Waddle, he's going to be more of a back-end wide receiver 2, he could potentially be a top-end wide receiver 2, depending exactly how the split goes. A big thing that helps Jalen Waddle continue to be relevant is the lack of a third receiving option on Miami. With the fact that they just brought in Odell Beckham this year. He might be a serviceable enough wide receiver three that eats into some of that potential ceiling for Jalen Waddle to become that high-end wide receiver two. That Odell Beckham also hurts anyone else that was trying to be that wide receiver three. So like that first year Malik Washington that I was thinking, oh, that could be kind of interesting, hampered by the Odell Beckham signing. That's one of those things where, okay, I need to really just only look at Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Odell Beckham, like he's listed as wide receiver 102. That's a wide receiver that is, if you're in a redraft league on the waiver wire, if you're in a dynasty league, you're rostering him simply because just on the off chance that he happens to start doing well on Miami, like you're going to be able to flip him for like a late third. And that's all you're getting. He's a roster clogger. He's just there because people know his name, and so you think you might be able to get something out of it. Those are the big ones that you want. Malik Washington, holding on to him. I'll talk a little later about the returnability. Same with Braxton Berrios. If you've got return yards in your leagues, those might be guys that, if they end up carving out some of that third wide receiver role, that you might be able to get a little bit of bonus off of them.
All right, and then on to the tight ends here. So they brought in Jonnu Smith from Atlanta, PFF grade of 59.1, which was 38th of 72 tight end graded last year. Durham Smythe, 53.7, PFF grade 56 of 72. So a little upgrade there with Jonnu to Durham Smythe. Jody Fortson, who they brought in from Kansas City, real athletic, tall guy, just been dealing with a lot of injuries. Julian Hill, 2023 UDFA, and Tanner Connor, still there, a 2022 UDFA. They also brought in Hayden Rucci, 2024 UDFA, out of Wisconsin as well. They only kept two tight ends on their initial 2023 roster last year, so I'm guessing it's going to probably be Jonnu and Durham Smythe. The rest of these guys will probably be fighting for the practice squad spots. Personally, I think Jonnu is definitely an upgrade here. I think if I had to choose between just the wide receivers and tight ends, I think Jonnu is going to be the third option in this passing offense. So I really like the upside of Jonnu, and especially for where you can get him. You know, he's going in the tight end 20 to 25, 30 range, somewhere in that range. I think he could, you know, at least be a back, you know, middle road tight end two for you. Like maybe he can get to 16, 17. I wouldn't be shocked at that. I know you have him at about 21 to 61 as his ranges. I think he could get a little bit higher than that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, overall, but average wise, he's showing up as tight end 36.
Right.
The thing that is a little bit of a problem with Jonnu is the fact that Miami, his old, it, even when they had a guy like a Gesicki there, they tend not to throw to the tight end. I don't know whether that's as much of a scheme thing as much as a Tua thing, like exactly what the deal is with that. But they've had other good receiving options in there before, and they didn't get used very much. And to the point where last year, they only kept two tight ends. It was Durham Smythe, who was a blocker, and Julian Hill, who was also kind of a blocking tight end, who had maybe a little bit more receiving chops than Durham Smythe did. So it actually looking at the 2024 initial roster, I think that it will likely be Jonnu Smith, Durham Smythe, and Julian Hill on that roster. The fact that last year they kept Julian Hill and they got rid of all their other tight ends before week one came around, they had re-signed Travis Con or Tanner Connor onto the team. So by week one, they were up to three tight ends again. So I think it was just one of those, okay, we only like these two guys. They ended up cutting Elijah Higgins, who I think they were hoping to bring back on their practice squad, and then he ended up getting poached by the Cardinals off of waivers. Going back to what tight ends are relevant, Jonnu Smith is going to be the only guy relevant for pass catching from this team. And right now, he's tight end 36. I think that's way undervalued to what his ceiling could be, but I would also not be surprised to see him ending up like, Yeah, he barely gets any focus here in the Miami offense. And he doesn't beat out anyone else because they don't utilize the tight end in a pass catching role a lot of the time, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's ending the year as tight end 25, and he played every single game.
Yeah, I think he's got some upside for sure, but like you said, there's also that downside where he's just not relevant at all either. So looking at their offensive line last year, they were ranked ninth overall. Dealt with a lot of injuries from last year. They finished with the highest pass blocking efficiency rating in the NFL. But however, over the last 5 weeks of the regular season, they ranked just 16th. But that has a lot to do with their quick passing game and the way they get the ball distributed. So let's take a look at their offensive line for this coming year. Left tackle, Teron Armstead, 79.3 PFF grade, which was 16th of 81 among left tackles last year. He dealt with a lot of injuries last year, so they need to keep him upright this year for sure. And with that, they drafted Patrick Paul in the second round, 6'7", 330 pounds. Monster offensive tackle. Just some d highlights from Dane Brugler. Overall, Paul has the size and length to keep defenders occupied, but his rhythm breaks down quickly, and opponents will find success until he improves his rudimentary recovery technique and hand usage. Similar in ways to Chukwuma Okafor, he has the tools to develop into a functional NFL starter, but he might require a redshirt year. So, well, sitting behind a Teron Armstead and learning for Patrick Paul is not going to be the worst thing in the world. Left guard Isaiah Wynn, he was a free agent signing they had brought over from New England, $1 million guaranteed. PFF grade 47.8 at guard last year, which was 66 out of 79, so they need him to improve. Their backup is Lester Colton, the 2022 UDFA. At center, they have Aaron Brewer, which was a free agent signing from Tennessee. They gave him $10.2 million guaranteed. He had a PFF grade of 71.6, which is 11th of 36 qualified centers last year, so a major upgrade there. Liam Eichenberg, a 2021 second round pick, his PFF grade was a 45.2, which was 34th out of 36 qualified centers. So very bad year from him. They need him to improve, but as a backup, you're not really relying on him too much, hopefully. Right guard Robert Jones, a 2021 UDFA. He re-signed back with Miami this year, $1.2 million guaranteed. His PFF grade was 44th out of 79 at a 57.6 grade. Backup is Chasen Hines, another UDFA they had. And then right tackle was Austin Jackson, the 2020 first round pick that they had. His PFF grade was a 66.9, 42nd out of 81. And his backup, longtime swing tackle, Kendall Lamb, 2024 free agent signing, PFF grade is 64.3, 49th out of 81. So obviously losing Robert Hunt is going to hurt this team, but they did sign a couple guys. Hopefully they can keep this offensive line upright. Kick returners and punt returners, Koopa.
Yeah, so they have Braxton Berrios. He's a special teams specialist. So he did all the kick returns for them last year. He did all the punt returns for them last year. I fully expect that to be the case again this year, with the exception that with the new kick return rules, you can have two returners back there. I would not be surprised to see Malik Washington back there with Braxton Berrios, potentially splitting, kind of being like a little protege sort of thing of as Braxton Berrios, maybe when his contract runs out, Malik Washington might take over the role.
All right, sweet. All right, well, that is going to be it for our Miami Dolphins team preview. We will see you guys next time with the New York Jets.